Now, a five-year-old boy called Daniel and his family were having dinner at his grandmother's house. And as it so happens, when you visit your grandmother with your family, everybody was sat around the table as the food was being served. And when little Daniel received his plate from his grandmother, he started eating right away. So the mother stopped Daniel. He said, "Stop what you're doing. Daniel, wait until we pray before you start eating." And the little boy replied, "No, I don't need to pray here." And so the mother was a bit puzzled by this. And she asked him, "Of course you need to pray. We say a prayer before we eat at our house. Why don't you want to pray here?" And of course, little Daniel replied, "That's at our house. But this is grandmother's house, and she knows how to cook. I don't need to pray." Well, the story is, I'm sure, fictional, probably. But it does illustrate an important truth, isn't it? That many of us, I suppose like Daniel, not only misunderstand why we pray, but also sometimes we feel like not prayer isn't worth it in certain situations. I wonder though, how is your prayer life today? How well are you praying? How would you characterize it? What priority does prayer take in your life every day and every moment? You see, though many of us believe in God, which is a great thing, our lives show that we don't believe in praying to Him. We may claim that we believe prayer works, but our actions actually say the opposite. Now, you only have to look at your ordinary church members meeting, I don't know how it is, and your ordinary prayer meeting. I don't know how it is here, but over at Thamesmead, normally when you know we got membership and the attendance on a Sunday may have 80, 90 people attending. But when you call a prayer meeting, of course, you may find that only 10 are available. I think that reflects not only church prayer meetings, but also what's going on in our lives, I think. Some of us hardly ever pray. Many of us never genuinely, even when we pray, really bring our needs, our genuine needs in those prayer meetings. I've even found that even though many of us are quick to share our prayer requests with others, we never really share our real prayer requests, things that we desperately need prayers for. And even when we do share our prayer requests, and we do meet for prayer, sadly, many of us don't expect anything to change. In fact, someone has helpfully said this. He said, "One of the greatest sins in the church, in the Western world today, is not gossip. It is not addiction. It is not fornication. The greatest sin is the sin of prayerlessness." Or as someone put it, leaving God alone. Just choosing not to talk to Him as we are commanded in Scripture to do. You see, there's something terribly wrong if God is our Father and we don't have an eagerness to talk to Him, to long to speak to Him every moment. There's something wrong in our lives if we believe God is sovereign over everything that happens, but we never genuinely take needs and prayers to Him. Because if I had a powerful friend, if the Queen was my friend, I'd be telling the Queen everything. Everything that's going on, because I know the Queen can at least do something about it. Which raises a deep question in our lives, isn't it? Where do we go to learn the value of prayer? Where can we go to really understand what does it mean to pray and how do we make this a priority? Well, of course, all of the Bible speaks to these issues. I mean, you have long lists. The Lord's Prayer. You've got Jesus' high priestly prayer in John. There's so many places in all of Scripture. And of course, we've just been looking this morning at the Psalms. But as I was thinking about my own need to pray, I have always found this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Paul's request to be quite challenging to my own life. And I thought, well, you know, so it's good to discuss prayer, and let's look at this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Paul says this, brethren, pray for us. And I think those few words there, there are at least 3 points we can make from just those 4 words about how or why we should pray. The first thing that Paul wants to teach us from those words is that every believer needs prayer. Every believer needs prayer. Brethren, pray for us. You see, Paul has just been praying for them. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. He just says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will answer this prayer, he says. He will do it. And Paul, having just prayed for them, now he requests they, in turn, should pray for him. In fact, not just him, of course. The ask is Paul, Timothy, and Silas who have written this letter. So he says to them, brethren, brothers and sisters, we might say, pray for us. And Paul's request for them to pray for, Paul's request for them to pray for him is within the context of a larger request Paul has made in verse 17. Do you see that in verse 17? He says, pray without ceasing. So Paul is saying effectively that he knows that we can't pray for others effectively until prayer becomes our very life. Why is that? Because you see, prayer is to the Christian what the blood is to the body. It is the life we depend on. We are to be praying people. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said once. He said, prayer girds human weakness with divine strength. It turns human folly into heavenly wisdom and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer can do. At first, of course, as you look at these words of Paul, it looks a bit strange, isn't it? Paul is a great apostle, and here he's making a request for prayer, for someone to speak to God on his behalf. And notice that Paul does not actually just say that what he does not actually say what he needs prayer for. You know, in the other letters we'll see in a moment, Paul actually makes specific requests. But here, he just says, I need prayer. It looks like Paul is saying, I am totally helpless here. I need you to pray for me. In short, he's saying, I need God in everything. We really, friends, need your prayers. This is vintage Paul. And we see throughout his letters this request for prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18 to 19. If you turn with me there for a minute. Ephesians 6, verse 18 to 19. Paul says this. He says to them they should pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And then verse 19 he says this. And also pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. To the church at Thessalonica, the second letter, Paul says this, finally, brothers, he says, pray for us. We could have used that text, actually. He repeats the same word, brothers, pray for us. Why? That the word of the Lord may be speed ahead and be honored as happening among you. He says, actually, the gospel, the good news of Jesus needs your prayers. It's amazing, isn't it? They need to pray. You see, Paul knows that every believer needs prayer.
Why do we need prayer? Why do we need prayer? I mean, why should we go to God to pray?
Well, because of John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
You see, we need prayer for the same reason we need salvation. Why? We are sinners living in a sinful world. Jesus is our only hope. So we must talk to him every day about every single thing. And not only talk to him ourselves, we must ask others to talk to him on our behalf.
You see, the reason many of us struggle with prayer, the reason why we are not praying as we should, is because we are self-reliant. We really believe we can do it on our own. You know, we only go to God when we've got a crisis. But for the smaller things, we think we can do just fine without him. You see, we don't ask others to pray for us because we're doing just fine. We're doing just fine. You see, we forget actually that as followers of Jesus, God is our Father who longs to talk to us. And apart from God, we can do nothing.
God longs to hear your voice every day. It's very interesting with little Abigail.
Yesterday I was trying to get on my own business, you know, think about today, preparing my sermon. I'm not blaming her. I was trying to do that. And of course, she was there, you know, she came around and she started saying, Daddy, Daddy. And so for a minute, you can ignore her for a minute. Okay, I'm doing something. I'll talk to you in a minute. But the baby says that only needs to say that 2-3 times before, of course, you stop. Because the voice of the baby draws you to her. Even when she's downstairs, because we live in a sort of two-story, she likes the stairs to get to the bedrooms upstairs. And even she's downstairs and she's calling up. Or she's with her mom and I know she's fine, but she's saying, Daddy, Daddy, from downstairs. I usually stop everything I'm doing. And I go downstairs just to see, okay, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm working from home, but I'm busy, but I'm here.
The voice calls you because the love that you have for the baby draws you in and wants you to act and to reassure them. Now imagine we serve a God who loves us beyond measure. I mean, my love for Abigail is nothing compared to the love God has for you. Which when you cough, God hears and is wondering what's going on there. Of course, he knows everything, but he's coming to you and longs you to talk to him. Because God loves you beyond measure. And friends, until we see how much God loves us, until we see that we need him as Paul knew that every believer needed prayer, until we see that, we won't be praying people. Paul Miller says this, a needy heart is a praying heart. Dependence is a heartbeat of prayer. And this dependence of God comes from being what Tabitha Anyabwile, one of the theologians in the U.S., calls to become gospel saturated. We must be people that are so immersed in the gospel to understand what that we are sinners and that Jesus, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin to save us from the judgment of God, and that God has brought us in his family, and he has demonstrated his boundless love and given us a new life in Christ, and that we have a glorious inheritance ahead of us. When we understand the gospel, we'll be praying people.
I often think it's very, very interesting. You know, I used to be, when I was church secretary at the start in our church there, before I stopped doing that, but when I was church secretary, before we had a pastor, I was very keen to get people to prayer meetings. Until one day, God showed me that, you know, you're not going to get these guys to a prayer meeting. I'll tell you about one of my attempts in a moment.
Until I realized that the key is the gospel. If people only understood what Jesus has done for them and appreciate the boundless work of grace, of course they'll run to prayer meetings. Why? Because they know when they meet and pray God hears.
Friends, we must continuously preach the gospel to ourselves. We must be gospel saturated. And only when we do that, we will recognize Paul's first point from this text. Every believer, even Paul, needs prayer. And friends, if Paul needs prayer, you need prayer. Because every believer needs prayer. That's the first point. The second point we see from this phrase, this verse, is that every believer should ask for prayer. Should ask for prayer. We must ask others to pray for us. Notice what Paul says here, brethren, pray for us. It's a request. You see, what is amazing here, of course, is that Paul can pray for himself. I mean, Paul can pray for himself. So why is he asking them to pray? You know, you've got three brothers there. Paul, Timothy, Silas. These are prayer giants. I mean, why do they need prayer? Has God stopped listening to Paul and Timothy and Silas? No. You see, Paul is requesting prayer because he is humble. Paul is saying, look, if you pray for me, I know God will answer through you. Paul is not proud. He's not saying if God doesn't answer my prayer, then God will never answer anyone's prayer. No, Paul knows that God can answer prayer through others. And this tells us one cardinal thing we need to remember about prayer requests. You see, when you say, friends, I need your prayers, you are humbling yourself before God. The Bible reminds us that God values humble hearts. And God graciously hears the prayers that are requested through humbleness. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this. God, he says this, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Why? For God opposes the proud, but does what? Gives grace to the humble. In other words, Apostle Peter is clear that pride closes the door to grace. Do you want your prayers answered? Share them. Humble yourself by sharing your heartfelt prayer. You see, sometimes when we ask for prayer requests, when we make prayer requests to people, we like sharing the self, superficial prayer. We like saying, my cat is not feeling very well at home. Please remember God. Remember before my cat before God for prayers. We like saying, look, the church finances are not very well. We want prayers for that. We like saying, look, there's trouble in the Ukraine. Can you pray for that? Just remember that, you know, this evening. We like to say, look, my grandkid is unwell. Can you pray for my grandchild? Yes. And in some degree, all of these prayers also have value. It's important to pray for our grandkids. It's important to pray for our wives and others. But we rarely go down deep and open about areas of our lives that also really need prayer. We say to ourselves, you know, I can't share about my need for prayer about my addiction. What will she say? We like saying, look, you know, what will my friend or the congregation think if I said to them, my marriage is failing. I need prayer. We wouldn't want to share such a prayer request. What would we say if we say, you know, I'm really struggling with parenting and my child is very difficult to deal with. I've tried. Please help me with prayer. Stand with me for a week. Every day bring this issue before the Lord. We don't want to share that because it embarrasses us. You see, asking for prayer is embarrassing. It lets everyone know that deep in our lives, no, everything is not perfect. And we don't like feeling embarrassed. I don't like feeling embarrassed. No one does. So what often happens is that we just pray ourselves out of the mess we are in. There are prayers we share in the church, and there are real, real big issues in our own lives. Our addictions, our other things we are struggling with, and we don't really want to share those. We just struggle on our own and pray those through. Friends, that attitude is not Christ-like. We must emulate the humility of Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11. Listen to how Paul prays. He also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul requests prayer. He says, I can't do it. I need your help. Pray for us. And later on, of course, we'll talk about the thorn in the flesh and his own failures, perhaps in the prayer department, when God said, no, my grace is sufficient, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Where did Paul get this humility to offer real, tangible requests? Of course, from the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Paul says this about Jesus in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is also yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. There is humility. Jesus became nothing so that we might be something in him. You see, this humility, this ability, look, here on our own, we are not going to be people that come to God and or others and share our deepest needs. We can't do it. This is the work of the Spirit in us. We need the Holy Spirit to change us, renew us. Humility is something that only the Holy Spirit does. And therefore we must surrender to him. As we become more gospel saturated, as we believe in the doctrines of grace and recognize that we are totally depraved and ever in dependent need of his radical change of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we begin sharing real prayer requests. We surrender to God the Spirit to begin to enable us to share our deepest needs. You know, the way I like to think of it is like this. The church is a bit like going to a costume party. I don't know when the last time you went to a costume party, probably when you're very, very young. Everybody comes to a costume party wearing something, isn't it? A character, Shakespeare or, you know, Vladimir Putin or whatever, you know. You dress in some sort of costume clothing. And of course, from a distance, people can not quite tell. Who's that who's coming? Is that, you know, is that Chola coming in there? Oh, no. Oh, no, that looks like Shakespeare. You know, that kind of, they're trying to work out. They can't tell. And of course, as they get closer, perhaps if they know you very well, they can say, okay, this is this person who's dressed like that. It's a bit like that. All of us come into church wearing a bit of a mask. And the mask we tend to wear is a mask of perfection. It is a mask that says, everything is well in my life. Yes, there are some issues with my, you know, friends over there, church over here, and, you know, where I work. But in my own life, in my core being, there are no anger issues. There are no addictions I'm struggling with. There are no financial mess I've made. There's nothing like that. That's the mask of perfection we wear. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit comes into you and starts ripping out the mask. He's taking it all out. And the more we become embedded in the gospel, the more we become dependent on what Jesus has done, the more now we can share our true selves with others. We can now say, I'm struggling here. As we get closer to Jesus, we now share real prayer requests. We start admitting to others that there are areas we can't do on our own. We need prayer.
Can I ask you something this evening? Will you take away the mask of perfection? Will you this day, from this beginning, this day, allow the Holy Spirit to change you and take away that mask of perfection? Will you depend only on the grace that is in Jesus? Will you say to God and say, Lord, yes, it's painful, but I'm willing to share my deepest needs. And you start saying to others, look, I'm struggling here. Genuine struggles in this area. Please pray for me. Are you willing to be honest about those areas where you need prayers? Or will you just continue to stick to the surface stuff? I encourage you to find a friend, a praying friend, somebody that can work with you to take off that mask of perfection and allow you to be submissive before the Lord. And ask for real tangible prayers like Paul does throughout the scriptures. Friends, every believer should ask for prayer. That's the second point. The final point we see from these verses is that every believer must pray for others because God hears us. Every believer must pray for others because God hears us. Brethren, pray for us. Now imagine if David Cameron came to you and interesting time, obviously, with the Panama Papers having just come out. If Cameron came to you and said, look, I'm in a bit of a mess. My taxes are coming under a bit of a mess here. I need help. So can you speak to the Queen on my behalf to lean on Mr. Murdoch or someone of that kind? Can you speak to the Queen on my behalf? You, of course, tell Mr. Cameron to go away, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be like, where am I to talk to the Queen? I don't know. The Queen? You tell him that. And in a similar way, Paul asking for prayers from these new believers, you expect these new believers to say, look, who are we to pray for you for? If you can't pray, why are you asking us to pray? I mean, if you can pray on your own, who are we? We just became Christian like last month. But you know why is Paul asking? Because Paul knows that all believers are equal before God. Paul knows that even struggling believers are equal with him before God. That's why he calls them, this is the phrase, brethren, pray for us. Brothers and sisters, in the gospel, pray for us. You see, every follower of Jesus can pray for others. Why? Because God hears us when we pray to him. As long as you are a follower of Jesus, you have immediate access to the throne of grace. Think of it like this, you know, the FBI, you know, the CIA, MI6, they have all these layers of clearances before you see security information. Interesting, at work, we have these layers of clearances. So there's only certain documents you can see until you have a basic clearance. Everybody who's into government can see basic stuff, official stuff, of course. They just check whether, you know, you're not on a terrorist or something like that. That means you can see some stuff. After that, there's another level of clearance where they check that, you know, they do a bit more digging to ensure you can see some stuff. And under that layer, it allows you to go into every government building. But you still can't see everything. And then after that, there's another level of clearance. And it can be quite strange sometimes, right? So I manage a number of people. My security clearance, sometimes the people I manage actually have better security clearance than I do. And the reason for that is they are bothered, obviously, to get themselves cleared. If you're not cleared, you cannot see this. There are certain things that you cannot see. And of course, there's stuff that I would never, ever see because to be cleared, they have to interview your grandmothers and do all kinds of things. I knew a friend of mine who couldn't get cleared to work in a place somewhere because it just wasn't sufficiently cleared. And it's the same thing when we come to God. You see, for us, actually, God has removed all level of clearances. There's no more vetting to be done. Jesus has been vetted for you. And therefore, you can approach God and immediately. There's nothing preventing you from talking to the Creator of the heavens. You have now immediate access as a priest before God. We need to let that really sink in. Friends, it means that God hears the prayer not only of new Christians, but also those that are struggling. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has opened the door to approach God.
I like what Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 18. He says this, "For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father." You know, sometimes we look at our own lives and think, I can't pray for that person. How can I pray for God to deal with that person when I myself in my own life, I am struggling? My problems are too big, so who am I to even start praying for that person? We doubt that God listens to us based on our own goodness. Sometimes we don't ask for prayers from others because we look down on other Christians. We say, why would God hear Jack's prayer for me when Jack has a hot temper? No point asking him. I mean, we say to ourselves. We pick and choose which Christians to ask for prayers from. So if it's a pastor, yeah, you know, pastor, you got to have me on my prayer list. We are going by works. We are not realizing that if you're a believer, you have immediate access before God. Friends, sometimes we only share prayer requests out of courtesy, not out of faith. But not Paul. Paul truly believes in James 5, verse 16. It says this, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. And if you are in Jesus, you are a righteous person because of his blood. God answers your prayers, even if you're struggling. In fact, God delights if you're struggling to go to him and pray. He will hear you. And if you don't know him and you haven't repented of your sin, God did one long. It's like he's running. We have that parable of the lost son. God wants you to run to him, to repent of your sins and come to him. He will hear your prayers because he longs to hear you repent and come to him. So the key then is for us is to start praying. And according to this verse we've just looked at, these four words, it starts by remembering what? Three things we've learned. Every believer needs prayer. So we must cultivate our helplessness. That's the first edge. Helplessness is what we need. The second thing is that every believer should ask for prayer. So we must cultivate what? Humility. Humility. That's the second. We must have the humility before God so we can share our prayers with others. And the final point we've learned is that every believer must pray for others. Why? Because we must recognize we are high priests before God. Helplessness, humility, and our high priestly access through Jesus is what we need to remember when it comes to prayer. So may God enable all of us to grow deeper in praying and requesting prayer. Amen.